When asked if she considers herself a feminist, Claudine Herrmann replied, "Often youngers ask me if I'm a feminist. If being a feminist means wanting women to find a rightful place in society, then yes." The first woman ever appointed professor at École Polytechnique in 1992, president of the European Platform of Women Scientists, EPWS, co-founder and the first president of the Association Feminine Sciences, Claudine Herrmann is the very first inspiring women in science of the Spear podcast series Daughters of Marie. Today we want to introduce you to the work and commitment of a physicist, who even when retired continues to be an inspiration to young girls and to present scientific professions as accessible to all, offering her experiences and her impressive career as an example. Welcome to Daughters of Marie, a Spear Project podcast series where we give space to our contemporary female role models. Shy introvert in her laboratory, Maria Sklodowska-Curie, the world-famous scientist and two-time Nobel Prize winner, was nothing short of an iconoclast. Marie influenced her daughters, yet let them blaze their own paths. Irene followed her mother's footsteps into science and was instrumental in the discovery of nuclear fission. Eve traveled the world as a foreign correspondent and then moved on to humanitarian missions. But Marie's deeds inspired women scientists for generations, who followed in her footsteps in the past century and nowadays. With a reputation which will hardly fade in the upcoming years, Marie collected countless disciples and is one of the first female role models of her kind. In this podcast, we will have honest conversations with distinguished women scientists of our times, the daughters of Marie, in fact. Talk about their careers, the obstacles they have encountered and still encounter as scientists, mothers and superheroes. My name is Jelena and I'm part of the Spear Consortium, an inspiring group of professionals dedicating their lives to make research institutions more equal. Spear is a project funded under the Horizon 2020 Framework Program with the mandate to initiate institutional change in 9 European research performing organizations by implementing gender equality plans as a key instrument to improving gender equality in academia. What we advocate is a more gender-balanced educational environment, a strong dimension of gender in the research content, hand-in-hand with the reduction of structural barriers. We are here to inspire you, challenge you, and offer our community of learning as a support. We believe in a space where your full potential is unleashed, and your dreams come true. Let's meet our woman in science. Claudine was born in 1945, definitely many years after Marie Curie, in a completely different epoch, a different France, but not so different for a woman who aspires to become a scientist. Her love of science has been nourished and facilitated since childhood by the existence of a feasibility model, her mother a pharmacist. She's the daughter of a pharmacist and a financier, and her mother was of a great inspiration, as she was one of the few female graduates of her generation and was very committed to her job. Mindful of this example of dedication, Claudine continued to work even while raising her 3 children and took the legal maternity leaves only. Wanting to become a secondary school teacher, she was told by a friend about the École Normale Supérieure de Joinville, a French institute of higher education. The school educated girls only, as teachers for the secondary or higher education systems. Claudine succeeded the selective entrance examination into the school in 1965. After the third cycle thesis at the École Normale Supérieure, her teaching manager encouraged her to continue with a thesis in a laboratory at the École Polytechnique, the most renovated French engineering school, where she obtained a PhD in solid-state physics in 1976. Claudine was one of only 2 women graduate students in this lab at that time. She remembers the need to impose her mother identity in the laboratory where she conducted her thesis, and to educate these men who were not used to working with women who need to return home to take care of their children at a well-defined time. Pregnant of her 3rd son, and with the support of male colleagues, as she was the first woman appointed in the physics teaching department of École Polytechnique, Claudine was nominated as lecturer in 1980, a position equivalent to second-class professor of French university, before presenting herself as first-class professor in 1992. Her appointment signaled the recognition of her work, especially because a man was recommended for the very same position, and she had great support of her male counterparts. Later, Claudine reflected in one of her interviews how a man would not have waited 12 years to apply, but the way in which the files were presented suggested that only a potential Nobel could apply. But we also need good teachers and pedagogues devoted to their students. She also added how she was surprised to be the first woman professor since the École Polytechnique Foundation in 1794, during the French Revolution. As if her thoughts were heard by someone, new considerations about women took place in Europe at the beginning of the 90s, first in politics, then in the scientific community. Soon after her professor nomination, Claudine met Agathe Devalo, her mother in feminism and retired mathematics professor at Paris University, who thought her second research domain that of women and science. Shocked by the gender imbalance affecting these disciplines, she dedicated more and more time to raising awareness on the scientific and technical education of girls and women scientists in Europe and in France. In early 90s, girls represented only 15% of students at the Polytechnique, and they are still below 20% nowadays. Rightfully, Claudine pointed out that without claiming the same number of women and men everywhere and in all disciplines, variety remains essential. The engineers of tomorrow will not all be white men. From publications to conferences, this pioneer is tackling stubborn prejudices. Among these, the propensity to wish boys success, girls happiness, to judge girls on their work, boys on their abilities, to believe that the male sex would have better science skills. A couple of years later, in 1998, the Research Directorate General of the European Commission set up an expert group with the task of preparing a report on women and science policy in the European Union. Growing concerns have been expressed at the lack of women not only among career scientists, but also among those who shape scientific policies. In 2000s, the Science Policies in the European Union Promoting Excellence Through Mainstreaming Gender Equality report was produced within the framework of the European Technology Assessment Network, the ETAN Expert Working Group of Women and Science. It was aimed at all those whose work has a bearing on educating scientists, creating images of science and scientists, reviewing the work of scientists, recruiting and promoting scientists, funding science, exploiting the results of science, and shaping the scientific agenda. Claudine was one of these 14 experts, as the French participant and the only physicist. The report made recommendations to a wider range of bodies, including the Commission, the European Parliament, the Member States, and organizations that educate, fund, and employ scientists. Following this experience, she was one of the two French members of the group of civil servants on women and science at DG Research, the Helsinki group, from the group creation in 1999 until Claudine's retirement at the end of 2005. Currently, she is the president of the European Platform of Women Scientists and the president of honor of the French Women in Science Association. In 2015, Claudine received the Medal of Grand Officer of the Legion of Honor from the former President François Hollande for her former activities as first female professor at the École Polytechnique and for her current commitment to women and the sciences. Claudine is married to Jean-Paul, who had followed similar studies to hers at the École Normale Supérieure and is an extremely supportive husband. She is mother of three sons and grandmother of five grandsons and two granddaughters. She has spent the past years in active retirement, restlessly fighting gender gap in science. And yet, much remains to be done. A particularly flagrant example occurred in September 2018 at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, when a male physicist, Alessandro Sturmia, caused a storm by saying that physics was invented and built by men, and therefore not suitable for women. He was subsequently suspended, but Claudine did not remain silent and highlighted that Sturmia got it wrong for a start. In the 18th century, women such as Émilie du Chatelet made important contributions to physics as she translated and commented Newton's Principia, the basis of classical mechanics, into French. Voltaire himself acknowledged Du Chatelet's contribution to his 1738 Elements of the Philosophy of Newton, and he was the editor of Du Chatelet's work on Newton in 1795, and she prematurely died. During her prolific career, Claudine worked on the optical properties of solids, in particular, the photoemission of polarized electrons. She developed techniques to optically measure the spin resonance in semiconductors and spent a year as a visiting researcher at IBM in the US between 1977 and 1978. Among her greatest achievements, she proposed a clear view on the energy band theory of semiconductors, in contradiction with the commonly accepted approximations. Quite impressive for someone who is not suitable to be a physicist, isn't it? Distinguished scientist, fervent feminist, and warrior for women equal rights, Claudine is deservedly the archetype of the spear women in science we like and admire, and the perfect daughter of Marie. Her deeds outline the portrait of a determined woman, a pioneer, a symbol, a role model who went beyond what was merely expected for her in a field dominated by men. Claudine is also one of the Spear Advisory Board members, and we had the pleasure to invite her and interview her. Welcome, Claudine. Thank you very much for your time. We are honored to have you as our first speaker. Today, we would like to hear your opinion on a couple of topics related to our project Spear, and also about your professional career as well. So my first question, and it requires a bit of background. So you come from a country of a woman in science par excellence, Maria Sklodowska-Curie, the woman who also inspired our podcast. Birthed from the French Academy of Sciences in 1911 because of her gender, she defied her critics by winning her second Nobel Prize that same year. Recently, one of the 2018 Nobel Prizes in Physics went to Donna Strickland. Much of the news coverage has focused on the fact that she's only the third female physicist to receive the award after Marie Curie in 1903. So this is the first one that she obtained. And Maria Goeppert Mayer 60 years later. So my question is, do you think that this gap is due to persistent, explicit and implicit barriers to advancement in the science field and physics specifically, which is predominantly male? And to which extent did this field change in this respect since you started your career?
In physics particularly, but also in other disciplines like biology, where there are many women researchers at the beginning, but very, very few at the top. So, as you say, there are some barriers, there are some explicit barriers, and nowadays there are more implicit than explicit. And there is also, together with that, an insufficient visibility of women. Now, I should say that there have been some efforts. There are special awards for women. The most famous one are the L'Oréal UNESCO Awards. And they concern all type of women scientists, and particularly women scientists at the end of their careers. And this started in 1998. And among all the awardees, there have been two Nobel laureates in biology. So it means that it is really top level. In France, we have an award which is called the Prix Irène Joliot-Curie, awarded by the French Ministry of Research and the company Airbus. And among the awardees, a few women have become academicians of sciences. And as you mentioned, the Academy of Sciences were very slow to welcome women, and there have been, over the last 20 years, real effort. The number is still low, but much, much better. So there are some progress, but not too much. And in fact, the starting point of such initiatives, which is only targeting women, is always a political will. It does not come from the scientist community itself. It comes from politics or from business. In the case of L'Oréal, their customers are mostly women, and so they have in their mind that women should be considered. So in companies, it's a business case. In the rest, it is a political problem. And in fact, enterprises are more reactive than academia. And at the European Platform of Women Scientists, we strive for bringing the voice of women scientists at European Union and national levels, which is a visibility in the political world. And now if I speak of physics, because this previously was quite general, women are still very few in physics, around 20% of the researchers, but I think there are enough excellent women scientists to find some of them for top nomination, if the will is present, of course.
Okay, thank you very much. This is really, really insightful. And I would like to deepen into your past as well a little bit, because 2020, so this year, marks 20 years from the publication of the ITAN report that you contributed to. So the report touched upon several aspects, ranging from the number of professorship positions of women compared to men, peer-reviewed gaps, de-stereotyping science, just to mention a few. Do you see any improvements over the past 20 years?
I have been in the women in science mm-hmm. business for more than 25 years, so I have a long side view. And I would say that, first of all, at the statistical level, the European Union has done great work by setting the booklet's she figures that are issued every third year, and they provide a lot of statistics all over the European Union and even further. So if you look at them, there is indeed a very slow improvement, but if you extrapolate, it leads to parity in a time so far away that you and I will be dead. So women scientist associations, for example, are impatient and would like to see here true improvement, and so they work for a faster evolution. So at top level, there are now a few women, even in international institutions, like the Italian president of CERN, for nuclear physics, Petra Rudolph, who is the president of the European Physical Society, or in economy, Christine Lagarde, who was at the World Bank and is now presiding the European Central Bank. So there are some examples and you can quote them, but in some cases it could be what we say in French, the tree that hides the forest. So a few women at the top and not so many behind. So anyway, it's a problem of changing the mind and it takes a long time, a generation or even more, unfortunately.
Good. So also talking about policy making, because the topic of gender mainstreaming, so namely, just for our listeners, the approach to policy making that takes into account both women and men's interests and concerns. So again, in your opinion, what did it take so long to incorporate women's voice into policy making? And well, how come policymakers have been so oblivious to the fact that male voices would bring a different perspective?
Well, science policy, because I am a scientist, science policy is like general policy. There are very few women at the head of countries or government. Even in the Nordic countries, where there are women in politics, there have been problems, and one of the milestones of the problem of women in science was in 1997, the issue of the article of Vold and Veleras about nepotism and sexism in peer review, which is an old story, but which showed that in countries where you can have access to the application of all the applicants, where it is allowed, like in Sweden, there is a strong favor for men. And at that time, a woman needed to have published 2.6 times more than a man to arrive to the same success. So, in fact, all this shows that whatever the country, power is the supreme criterion, and men wish to keep it in policy and in science as well. It is the same problem with the media inviting scientific experts. There are always the same old men, whereas there would be younger people, men or women, and also women of any age, that could be able to explain the phenomena. So I think it's a matter of keeping the power and also a matter of habit. When you know somebody and you know that this person speaks well, you don't try to find a woman instead. So for this type of things, if there is not a higher power saying that you need to have women, it continues like it is.
Yeah, I agree with you that we should give more space to younger generations.
In general.
In general, exactly.
Yeah.
While familiarizing a little bit with your life and your career, I was struck by a joint interview that you had with Nadine, I apologize, Halberstadt, researcher in quantum physics and current president of FEM Sciences, where she acknowledges she was helped by a fellow physicist, Alberto Beswick. She said, and I'm quoting, that he knew the system, he thought me the codes, if you like. Other women who don't get that kind of help stay behind. So this also brings us to the fact that one of the problems is that there is a huge competition in academia, so some sort of oversaturation of competent researchers compared to the market needs. And this is a point you have stressed during your meeting with the President Emmanuel Macron at the time when he was a candidate in 2017. So this situation translates into the obvious conclusion that if there are more women, then it becomes more difficult for the men to access the labor market. So more competition. In relation to that, my question is it still the case that women, to be successful in scientific careers, need a man to stand behind them?
Well, as you said, there is a huge competition in academia, and the life of women scientists is much more difficult nowadays than when I was young. There is precarity, reaching a permanent position is now at an age in conflict with the biological clock to be able to have children, and this requires, between quotes, superwoman qualities to be a good woman scientist, and at least some support in the personal environment is needed, otherwise it's impossible and unbearable. So a support in the private environment, in which of course there are men, and a support also in the professional environment, and also there are plenty of men, and in the scientific hierarchy, but also women should support women, and women networks are very useful because you can explain the rules, maybe not so well as men, but all women finally understand the rule and they can explain to younger women. So I think anyway, women need support from men and also from women.
Okay, and then related to the previous question, and given the specific mandate of SPEER to support and implement plans for gender equality in academia and research, since the adoption of gender equality plans in several EU countries, do you believe that the situation has improved in academia, and in general, what is your opinion on gender equality plans efficacy?
Gender equality plans are a very good thing, with plenty of excellent initiatives, but they need to be sustainable and not to stop with the EU project money. I know many cases where when the project was finished, the person that was running the gender equality plans could not be kept, and then it stopped. And another point also, which is true for all this European gender project, is that there is not enough information dissemination between the places where there is the project, or in this case a gender equality plan, and the other places where there is not yet. So it does not spread. It is localized and unfortunately it does not spread. Now, if there is no political constraint to have gender equality plans in all places, or bonus when there is a gender equality plan, the evolution will be very slow. I would like to quote the Athena Swan Award in UK, where it's an award, and then to get funding from the state, and particularly in UK, in Ireland, you need to have such label to be funded. So in this case, it pushes the laboratories to do something. This is a financial and political push. If there is no such constraint, it will be very little progress.
Very good. So then we come to my very last question. So any words for the female scientists of tomorrow?
Well, being a scientist is a wonderful job. And if you like science, just go ahead. It will be difficult, but it's not the only difficult job, but you will have great choices. You don't need to be a genius to be a scientist. There are lots of different people in science, and most of your main colleagues are not a genius either. So you can go ahead. Don't stay alone, be supported in your private life, have mentors, engage in networks, in particular in women's network. And this is very important to be in a group and to be supported.
Merci beaucoup, Claudine. This is my message. Thank you very much for your inspiring words.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast and conversation with Claudine. And I also want a bit of appreciation for pronouncing extremely difficult French names. But the moral of this inspiration life story is that our pioneer has been supported through her whole career by men. Her husband first, they celebrated the 50th wedding anniversary last Christmas. Her three sons and her PhD boss, with whom Claudine collaborated during her whole scientific life. He insisted that she should be the keynote speaker at a conference just after her PhD defense, while he was the person invited to speak, because these were Claudine results. If we have inspired you just a bit by telling the story of Claudine, we can say that we are one inch closer to achieving our aims. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn under Spear Project. Follow us and stay tuned. The next episode will be launched soon. Thank you for listening and keep shining.